So you hopefully noticed on the front of your bulletin that we have a guest speaker. Maybe you even saw that in your sermon notes. His name is Joel Solomon. He is a leader in One Focus, and he came to town. Yeah, he's got some love in the house. So Joel came and is leading the Impact Weekend course that our own Brittany and Charlie Parrish are part of. And so that's an all-day Saturday, and the class will continue after second service. We'll feed them lunch, and then they'll have another two-hour session for this leadership training course. So Joel was going to be here anyhow. Joel is pastor at Town Center, one of the campuses of New Life Church in Virginia Beach. And I'm getting to know Joel, and I love him, and I trust him. That's why I invited him to speak to you today. So the first time I had a long conversation with Joel was at a pastor's retreat in April. I think it was 3 years ago. And he's a very prophetic guy. And in the middle of this pastor's retreat, he started giving me a prophetic word. And so I got my phone out and I recorded it. And I kind of liked it. And I brought it home and I shared it with Sue. I'm not talking about her because she's taking your daughter Reagan, but she listened to it and she didn't like it much. It's true. So she heard one thing, I heard another. Isn't that the way God's voice is to us in his word? And she heard one thing, I heard another. I was pretty jazzed. I was like, I like this Joel guy. He gives me good prophetic words. And Sue wasn't impressed. She heard something different, and so we just kept praying. When you get a word that you don't know what to do with, you just pray and ask the Lord to do his will, and you just embrace the heart of the prophetic word. So that's just my first real beyond hello, how are you. I like his hairstyle. He's a little more stylish than me. One of the staff members gave me some skinny jeans so I could grow up to be like Joel. It's not working, so we'll just ditch that, maybe. Joel brought his daughter Reagan with him for this weekend, and Joel and Reagan, 7, has been staying with us in our home. And you learn a lot about people by being in their homes and hanging out with their family. And I want you to know, a couple weekends ago, Sue and I got to stay with Joel and Avery and their 4 children, and they're the real thing. So, you know, we did reconnaissance. We spied out the land, saw how they love their kids and how they love one another and how they feed us. And there's some really good things in store for us this morning, because what he has to share from God's word comes from a life that walks with God. And I know this and I appreciate it. And so, open your hearts to the Lord and open your hearts to Joel Solomon. He has a word from the Lord. He's already pushing the envelope. He doesn't want to be on the platform. He wants to preach down here. I think he's a little Pentecostal and doesn't want to fall off the stage, so that's fine. All right, Joel.
So what was the resolve of the word with you and Sue? I feel like we just popped the faith balloon. Still praying. I'm going to have to talk to Sue when she brings my kid back. Or do some apologies, I suppose. It's a pleasure to be with you on behalf of our senior pastor, Dan Backens, at New Life Church. It's just an honor to be with you here, family. Can everybody see me in the back? Yeah, I don't like platforms very much. Make me shake a little bit, so I prefer to be down here. We're going to go on a little bit of a journey over the next 40 minutes-ish. And a little different flow, but I'm going to ask that you keep your hearts open, ready to receive a word that you and your wife can fight over later. For those of you who are single, I prophetically speak that over your life. I'm going to give you a word and you can fight over someone with it later. But we're just going to flow a little bit. I believe the Lord has something to impart to us. more, I believe, in weekend services are caught than taught. And so we're going to do some combination of teaching and activation and prayer. And just let's just be open to receive what the Lord has for us this morning. I'm going to ask the worship team to sing this chorus with us as we begin. You can stay seated or stand. We're going to sing, we're going to reprise the same chorus about God's adoption of us into his family. Can we sing this? We were worshiping. I saw a picture of a great city, magnificent in its size, walls that are as wide as the eye can see. And if you got an aerial view looking above it, you would see a city that has concentric walls that go deeper and deeper and deeper inside. And I saw a vast majority of people living inside of the city and inside of this walls. Then I saw those standing outside, knocking, desiring, longing to be inside of the walls and feeling like they could not be inside, that they were left fully on the outside. They would hear people calling to them, "You don't belong in this city. You're not allowed to be in this city. Go back to some other city. Go back to some other place. Go live out there in the hills, in the forest. You don't belong here." And I saw many feeling left on the outside. And then there were some that were on the, had made it into the city, but yet hadn't made it into the heart of the city. And they were left on some of the outer center of the walls. You're in the city, but not quite in the heart of it. You also heard the calls to say, "Yeah, we'll let you in, but not fully in. We'll let you get inside of the gates, but you gotta stay on the fringes and on the outside of this city." And as you heard, as these that were on the either the full outside or just the inside, they heard the voices. I saw fear and anxiety and pain, depression, anger, frustration, guilt, and shame beginning to emerge as every one of those voices began to speak to tell those they could not belong in the city. I said, "Lord, what am I looking? What am I seeing here in this moment?" And I heard the Lord say, "Son, these walls are my kingdom. These people are those who don't know their place in my kingdom. They don't know that I've called them into the heart of my kingdom. And they're listening to voices of those around them that tell them they are not belonging or they do not belong here." I said, "Son, do you see that when you don't know where you are in my kingdom, the result is fear, anxiety, worry, frustration, anger, depression? That in my kingdom, all of this is resolved. But son, you've got to know that you belong here in this place. Lord, give us ears to hear your call to us to come into the place of your kingdom." Lord, I pray any one of us this morning who feels lost, who feels left out of the kingdom as a whole, or feels that we have been pushed to the fringes of your kingdom, oh God, that we would hear the beckoning of heaven to come in this morning. In your name we pray. You can open your eyes if you haven't already. You've been on a journey over the last 5 to 6 weeks of talking about the kingdom of heaven. Your staff has led you through understanding the nature and the dynamics of the kingdom of heaven. It's so incredibly important because Jesus came to primarily talk about two things. And the first thing he came to talk about was about the kingdom of heaven. Just like for those of you who got back from India, right? There's a different way. How many have been to another country before, right? Like you go to another country and they act different. They talk different, different currency, different language, different ways of living, different foods. And sometimes when you're not used to those things, your body tends to react. Anybody been to Mexico and drank the water before? Yeah. Hashtag 3-ply. Right? Right? Like if you're going to live there, if you're going to be there, you've got to learn the dynamics of that culture, of that city, of that kingdom. Otherwise, you're on the outside. And Jesus came to do two primary things. One, he came to help us understand the nature of the kingdom, to understand its culture, to understand its DNA, to understand its currency, to understand how the kingdom of heaven works. Because the problem is, if we don't understand the kingdom, then we're left outside. And if we actually don't understand the kingdom, then you completely miss who Jesus is. Like, if we don't get the kingdom, we don't get Jesus. And sometimes I think we misinterpret Jesus because we've misinterpreted the kingdom. Or vice versa. We misinterpret the kingdom because we misinterpret Jesus. And your staff, your team here has walked you on this journey of understanding the nature, the importance of this kingdom. But Jesus didn't just come to talk about the kingdom alone. It's the second point that I want to highlight this morning that I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to do some ministry work in us, is he also came to talk about our place in his kingdom. Get it? He wanted to talk about the kingdom, but then secondarily, one with it, is he wanted to talk about your and my place in his kingdom. And so often, we misinterpret our place, and thus we misinterpret the kingdom. You see, you can know the kingdom and still know Jesus, and that's wonderful, but if you don't know your place in the kingdom, you misinterpret yourself. I'm going to say that again for the cheap seats in the back. You can know the kingdom, but if you don't know your place in that kingdom, you won't know yourself. Because we only fully understand ourselves when we know ourselves in place of his kingdom. My sense this morning, as I've been praying on this message of the last couple weeks, is there are those who don't have an issue with the kingdom. You're struggling finding your place in that kingdom. And so you hear this wonderful messages 3 and 4 and 5 weeks about the nature, the dynamics of the kingdom of heaven, and you're so happy for that, but yet you walk away frustrated, fearful, anxious, angry, upset, depressed, because you just can't see yourself in that kingdom. So consequently, the kingdom is that thing over there, and you're over here. I believe this morning, Holy Spirit wants to put a lasso around some of us and pull us from those outside the city walls into the city walls. And for some of us who feel so disqualified and not right, he wants to pull you from the inside of the outer wall into the inner place of the wall. So if you're taking notes this morning, the title of today's message is A Fixer-Upper Kingdom, or Kingdom Fixer-Upper. There you go. You've been mostly walking through the passages in Matthew. I want to pull us out of Matthew for a moment and pull us in to a Pauline letter in 1 Corinthians. It's one of my favorite passages. It's not one you probably normally hear about. That's all right. Look to somebody to your left and say, it's going to be okay. All right. If you've got your Bibles, take a look at 1 Corinthians 6. Paul is writing not just about the kingdom. Here in this passage in 1 Corinthians, he's writing about our place in the kingdom. He's writing about our understanding of where we're going in the kingdom. And here to this small church in Corinthians, this is what he says, verse 9. Do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Don't kid yourselves. Don't be tricked. Don't be fooled. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. None of them will inherit the kingdom of God. Well, that's quite the list. Turn to your right and say, I saw you on the list. Turn to your left and say, I'm on that list. Paul is giving us this picture of the holiness of the kingdom, the righteousness of the kingdom. He's displaying to us who we're called to be, and in this first couple verses, he's describing who isn't in the kingdom. He's describing the nature, the quality of one's heart and the personhood of those who are inside of the walls, i.e. are going to look different than the ones on the outside of the walls. Because the nature of the kingdom, as we'll see, is not behavior modification, it's internal transformation. And he's positioning something here in a moment that we're going to see. He says, these are those who are on the outside. And they have no part of my kingdom. And if you just stayed in verses 9 and 10, this would not be a great sermon. And you would probably leave more frustrated and angry and depressed and despairing than before. But Paul positions verse 11 in these four, 6 words are words that our entire gospel hangs on. Everything of the kingdom of heaven is found in these 6 words in verse 11. Every hope, every dream, every part of God's kingdom lands on these 6 words. And were such as some of you. This group that doesn't get in, that was some of you, and it implied here is that it's not you anymore. And it's not you anymore, not because you are on the outside of the kingdom. It's not you anymore because you're on the inside of the kingdom, and the inside of the kingdom changes the inside of you. As such were some of you. And then Paul describes how we enter into the kingdom. You were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. If we don't understand these 3 things that he says here, we miss how are we going to get in and live in the kingdom. Right? Because I don't want to just get into the kingdom, I want to live in the kingdom. Right? There's a difference between living and living. You hear me today? My dad, 2 years ago, sudden cardiac death on my driveway, died instantly, 15 minutes, no oxygen, was resuscitated through a process, and for a time was on a breathing tube in ICU. Now, he was alive, but he wasn't alive. See, there's a difference between living and living. You can be in the kingdom, but not in the kingdom. See, I don't want to just get in the walls. I want to live in the walls. And Paul here walks us through this journey. How do we not just get in, but how do we live in? We all right? I know I'm a little bit loud, bald, shiny. I'm Italian, so all those things. I promise you're going to get through without getting hurt today. First word that Paul, y'all want to start at the end and work our way back. How do we get in? Number one, we are justified. We are justified. Big theological term, but real simple here. It's the fact that we live guilt-free in mercy. We're justified. Paul uses this term multiple places. I want you to understand this term quickly. This word justification is a legal term. has a sense that there's this king, there's this judge, and you walk up to that judge in legal terms, and you are completely free of every accusation possible about you. It isn't just a rap sheet is gone, it's your identity has changed. You were this in your essence, and you now are this in your essence. You see, we so often walk around like, thank God I'm forgiven, thinking that he just forgives me of my stuff, but hasn't actually changed my identity. Your entire identity has changed because you've been justified in him. This is the idea when Scripture talks about you are Christ's righteousness. You are literally his righteous robes. So when you stand before God, it isn't as if you got your dirty robes on and thank goodness you got Jesus' white robes over top of you. It is literally as if your dirty robes are gone and all you're wearing are his. That's it. Your being has changed. Everything now about you is different, and this can't be altered. You can sin, yeah, and we say to Jesus, forgive me, I'm repenting, and in that moment it's eradicated and it can't be held against you. See, this is where the enemy, the accuser of the brethren, comes to us and says, I know what you did. I know you. 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 And we will listen to that voice so clearly, forgetting we are justified. Jesus on the cross in John 19 is hanging there. John 19, his last moment, and he says, it is finished. Now, the word that he uses there is this Greek word, tetelestai. And it means it is finished. But there's another word, another way to translate it, and it means paid in full. And it actually is a banking word that's used. And in the ancient Near East, let's say I give Merle a whole bunch of money, and he can't repay it. Nobody believes that that could be the case. Merle, you're doing something right. And he can't repay it in any capacity. And I'm the banker, and I say, Merle, I want this money. Give me my money. And JJ comes and says, here's Merle's money. On all the bank documents, stamped tetelestai. And it doesn't just mean paid in full. It means paid in full by someone else who paid it for you when you couldn't pay it yourself. That's the word that Jesus uses on the cross. And in that moment of him paying for your sin, everything was gone, tetelestai. Now here's where I want us to get this morning, the first point of ministry. Is when this happens and your essence is changed, now that entire rap sheet is gone. And all that's stamped before heaven is the righteous robes that says, tetelestai. So I was praying, I saw this picture. The Lord often speaks to me in pictures. And I saw this great, if you can picture with me, this great, great page scroll in the sky. And there were two columns. And on the left column were all of the sins that we had done. And they were, some of us have a longer list than others, right? Just really long list going down there. And then on the right column says, Jesus. And we're so happy. We're like, God, thank you that the right column says Jesus and the left column, you know, is there, but the right column says Jesus. And I saw that list kept going and growing. We're repenting, and that left column kept growing. And we're repenting, and we're so thankful the right side says Jesus. And I saw the enemy coming up to us and saying, yeah, but you got that left column. Yeah, but he's going to really look at that left column. And what we miss is in the kingdom. This is what's real. In three places in the Old Testament, three different prophets say this statement. That for your sake, God speaking, I don't just forgive your sin, but I cannot remember it anymore. You see, there is no left column in the kingdom of heaven. In this city, there is no left column. All it says is Jesus, his righteousness. And we sometimes miss the fact that when we're called into the kingdom, he removes the left column of sin. And if we don't let him remove the left column, all we hear are voices of accusation about that we don't measure up. I believe this morning there are some of us that are struggling with a performance-based mentality that I got to earn my way into the kingdom, or all I'm going to hear, even though I get into the kingdom, is about all my left column list. And you are struggling with guilt and shame about your placement outside of the kingdom, or feeling like I can get into the kingdom, but not really a part of the kingdom. See, if you're going to come in, let's come in. If we're going to come in, let's come in justified. Our state of being changed. Everything now in our essence is being removed. And now when the enemy comes to try to talk to me about my left column, I say, I'm sorry, I don't have a left column. You repent, you hit the delete button, and you keep moving. So here's what we're going to do. My sense is that the Lord wants to highlight some of this. And so I do this often at our church. We're going to do a little prayer and ministry time around this right now. Now, here's the thing. We all got stuff. Say it. I got stuff. Look to the person to your left. Say, I got stuff. Look to the person to your right. Say, you got stuff. All of us at different times answer our own altar calls. So there is no shame in saying, I'm struggling, I need. Don't let pride get in the way of you walking about free. It's about time, right, that things change. So here's what we're going to do. If you would say today, I just feel like I've been battling performance-based mentality, shame about my left column, and I just need it gone. I'm going to ask that you just lift up your hand. Yeah. Anybody else? Okay. If your hand is raised, I'm just asking you to stand up for a minute. You're not coming to the altar, just going to stand up. Say, I want to be in the kingdom, and I want to be in the kingdom. Yeah, all over the place. You're not held on the outside. You get to come all the way in. Who else will say, I feel like I'm on the outside, I need to come in. I feel like there's some voice in the wall telling me I can't come in. Anybody else? Okay, here's what we're going to do for the next 2 minutes. They're going to sing a song. If there's somebody standing up next to you, you're going to be the prayer team that's going to pray for them. So everybody's activated. Okay, so somebody standing up next to you, here we go. Everyone stand up, find someone next to them. Simply put your hand on them. It's not weird, I promise. I'm new here, so I can say that. And we're just going to pray. You're going to pray that guilt and shame be gone. You're going to pray that a newness of life comes and they know the unconditional love of God. You ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3, pray. Just one person begin to pray for each person. Don't think prayers, pray prayers. Here we go. Come on, church. Come on. Someone begin to pray. Just throw up your hands right now. JJ is going to pray a prayer of deliverance, freedom, of guilt and shame, that you are now chosen, not forsaken. And if you need to receive that this morning, just open your hands. You are justified and you are made new in him.
God, as we stand for you today, God, I pray that you would open up the eyes of your children to see that they are free. To see that there's no more guilt, there's no more shame, there's no more depression, there's no more anxiety of who they are in your kingdom. They have a place in your kingdom. Their eyes have been opened to see you in a new way, God. And I pray that you would just quench the voice of the enemy when he comes in to try to remind them of what they were. I pray that you would just scream louder of what they are, and they are children of you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Grab a seat. The second thing that Paul says in this text, before this, he says that we were sanctified. Sanctification is this process of becoming what you already are. Right? So often, here's what we do. We think Scripture says that you need to live holy in order to become holy. But Paul says it differently. He says, you are holy. Now live as if you already are. Live out of your already holiness. And so the kingdom of heaven comes to not just forgive you of what is, that's mercy, but comes to set you free from the things that bind you, that's grace. Right? Like sometimes we use these terms synonymously and they're not. Mercy forgives you from sin and grace empowers you not to sin. Right? In Hebrews, where the writer of Hebrews says, we come to a throne of mercy and grace to give us the thing that we need in our time of need. But he's gracious to forgive us, that's mercy. But his kingdom is so much more than just forgiveness. It's empowerment. A filled cross forgave your sin. But it's an empty grave that empowers you over that sin. See, the moment Jesus died, your sins were forgiven. I want you to understand this for a moment. He didn't need to raise again from the dead to get you into heaven. The filled cross did that. Heaven itself did that in flesh and blood. The empty grave didn't forgive your sin. The empty grave gave you power over your sin. And the kingdom of heaven didn't come to just say, come on in from the outside in. The kingdom of heaven came to set you free from the dominion of sin. And we have so often bought into a lie. So that the gospel of Jesus is about sin management. It isn't. It's not about behavior modification. It is about internal transformation. Go back to that slide earlier, if you would. There are two lies, I think, that we wrestle with in this kingdom. Number one is we understand we're in the kingdom, but sometimes we have this belief that my daily life is not going to be touched. Like, I can come into Jesus' city, but he can't mess with my stuff. Like, all right, Jesus, you have my living room, but leave my kitchen alone. All right, fine. Have my kitchen and my living room, but you better leave my bedroom alone. Leave my garage. We have these rooms where we think the kingdom of heaven doesn't need to touch. This is not Jesus' conversation. Jesus' conversation says, I want everyone and I want all of everyone. And we cannot come into his kingdom and think he's going to leave us alone. But there's another lie. It's present, and that's this lie that says, this belief that says, okay, I could be in his kingdom, and I understand he wants to touch my daily life, but if we're honest, we got some struggles because my daily life doesn't seem to be touched. But I have some mountains of sin that you've sometimes run around. The gospel of Jesus came to give new life and set us free. I want you to see this text in Romans chapter 6 that I love so much. You have it up there on the screen. Now, it's speaking of what happens when we come into baptismal waters, but hear the words and see the words that Paul talks about what happens when you come into his kingdom. He says, therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. For we have not been united together in just the likeness of his death, but certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Next slide. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, the body of sin is done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him. Therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. When we go into baptismal waters and when we come up, there is a spiritual dynamic that happens that you are set free from sin that you couldn't be set free from before. The kingdom of heaven didn't just come to forgive you. It came to set you free. Cycles of behavior that you just can't get out of. Ways of thinking that you just can't stop thinking. Spending, eating, words that we use in our mouth, actions we touch with our hands, all relationships that we just cannot seem to get free from. The kingdom of heaven came to set you free. Now I believe Romans 6 is so clear that there is patterns of sin that you can't get out of unless you're baptized. It's not just a public declaration of faith. It is a moment where the Spirit of God attaches the power of the gospel to you. But even some of us, we're baptized and we come up, and yes, there are still this process of living that's walking out, and the Holy Spirit comes by the power of the baptism of the Spirit to then continue to do the work where now our lives are continued to be set free from the stuff that we can't stop ourselves. That's the kingdom of God. That's the fullness. My sense was this morning that there's some, you know you're saved, you know that you're justified, but there's this old Aesop's fable of the tar baby. Remember this, where the rabbit got stuck to the tar baby, and the more he tried to push and touch it and kick it, the more he got wrapped up and stuck until the point that he was totally balled up inside of this tar baby. My sense is there's some of us who have this big ball of tar, and it's some cycle of behavior. You know that you're saved, but you are struggling being set free from it. And the harder you try, and the harder you press, and the more you push against it, the more you're stuck. I believe this morning the Lord wants to set you free to live in the fullness of the kingdom. Okay, so here we go, round two. Today, you just say, I know I'm saved, but man, I got this thing, this mountain that I just cannot seem to stop going around. And I need a kingdom not just forgive me, but I need a kingdom to set me free. If you would say today, I'm just struggling with some stuff I just can't get free of, would you raise your hand? Okay. You know the next part, you're going to stand up. Here we go. If you got some stuff, just stand up. Anybody else? Okay. You know the drill. Someone standing next to you. You're the prayer teams. Here we go, quickly. Everybody up. Find somebody who's got their hand up. We're going to pray. The Spirit of God's going to come and bring deliverance. We're going to set free the cycle. You don't even have to say it if you don't want. You can, but you just say, I just need prayer. Here we go. Ready? On the count of three. One, two, three, go. Break.
So God, right now, this morning, we receive the fullness of our inheritance in you. We receive the freedom that you paid for. We receive the reality of the empty tomb today, Lord Jesus. And we ask, God, that you would manifest that reality in our lives. Jesus, today we draw a line in the sand and we step to the other side and we say, from this day forward, we will walk in your freedom and the fullness that you have made and called us into. God, we thank you for your goodness and we thank you for your provision and we thank you that you paid the price in full. God, I thank you that you didn't leave it up to us to figure it out, but you did it for us, Jesus. And you will continue to make a way for us, God, so we receive your freedom today. Jesus, right now we acknowledge how big you are and how small this thing is that has seemingly stood before us for so long. You are bigger. You are bigger, God.
The last part, this will be much quicker. That last phrase, you can stay standing because this won't take long. I'm sure Merle's going to close this out. Pastor Merle, I mean. The last phrase, as such, for some of you, inevitably, this group of people, this church, knew exactly who Paul was writing to. I believe some of us, we have been justified and we've been in sanctification process. But some of us believe and we've been hidden. We've been hiding ourselves from our story. And this phrase isn't just that the kingdom of heaven came to set you free, and it's just the kingdom of heaven forgave you, but that then the kingdom of heaven's going to use you as a witness to others. And I saw this picture of this grand masterpiece. It's like this Picasso oil painting that the Lord had done. And I saw us with watercolors painting over top of it because we just weren't sure what others might think of us if they really knew our story. And I believe the Lord wants to set some of you free and help you realize that that process is his witness in the world. Some of you have been hiding a testimony from coworkers, hiding a testimony from neighbors, hiding a testimony from, yeah, even families. And the Lord says, you don't understand. That's my glory. That's the testimony that's then going to set someone else on the outside of the wall free. So rather than hearing words that say you don't belong here, they're going to hear a testimony that says, I was you, I was there, and my life is witness that you can come in here. Can you just open your hands right where you're standing, everyone? Father, right now in your great name, I pray that every heart, every life would realize the glory of God that is in them. And that their story, their journey, their life is a testimony to your kingdom, to a dead and dying world. And I pray, oh God, that the tent pegs of Grace Covenant Church would expand all through Harrisonburg because witnesses of your transformative power would go out into the community and speak the glory and speak of the change that happened. So this week, I bless you with lots of conversations of others who are going to talk about their life, and I speak boldness into your tongue that you would declare the glories of God in you, that what he did in your life. And I speak to those prophetic moments and I say, you would speak with boldness, you would speak with authority, and you would sense the pleasure of God speaking to others about you through you. Lord, we say, use our lives for your glory. Tell the story of your great work in us. In your name, we pray.
So, Lord, we thank you for your word to us through your son, Joel. We receive it from your heart. Lord, thank you for the mercy that forgives us. Thank you for the grace that empowers us and sets us free. Lord, I bless each one to go out in Jesus' name and be trophies of your mercy and grace everywhere you send us this week in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you, church. God bless you. Yeah, you can clap for God and Joel. That's good. Go in Jesus' name.